Senate Bill 182 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 182 having had its second reading is for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Bill Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Senate Bill 182 has had an awful lot of discussion and debate throughout its life here in our legislative process. And I have paid very careful attention to the concerns that have been expressed to me since the bill passed the Senate and was sent over to us for our consideration. And therefore, for that reason, I have an amendment at the desk, Mr. Speaker. It is 182OG, and it has been distributed.
Representative Peterson, I have two 182OGs. Can you tell me what the... Okay,
it's the longer version. Yes.
Okay, we'll call that OG longer. Comments on OG longer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I speak to both the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
I want to spend just a moment with the House to work through this amendment. I know I've, in the last couple hours, giving you a blizzard of paper. We've been working off a couple of different bills and a couple of different ideas, and every time I thought I had the amendment right, I discovered I had it wrong. So I want to spend just a minute. In your daily reader, your pink addendum, you have the House and Gross version. That includes the amendments that were placed on it, on this bill in the House State Affairs Committee. Now, on my long version of 182OG, the very first thing that we do is strip all House amendments, which brings it back to the Senate and Gross version. And I had the pages distribute so that you could follow along a copy of the Senate engrossed version. So if you pass my amendment, the first thing you're going to do is make our pink copy irrelevant. Then what we're going to do is basically, this: if we pass the rest of the amendments, we're going to do basically three things. The first thing that we're going to do is to simply state that the governing body, when they opt out of a tax district, when they opt out, shall specify in their opt-out resolution the year or the number of years that excess tax levy will be applied. Doesn't matter if it's 1 year or 3 years or 5 years or 15 years or 25 years. They will specify date-specific the number of years that it will apply. And there's no longer any five-year provision in there. That is stripped out completely. All they will do is specify the number of years that the opt-out will apply. Secondly, we grandfather in all opt-outs prior to July 1, 2002. So the provisions of this act will not apply to any opt-out prior to July 1, 2002. The next thing we do is to take... and ensure that the taxpayers are given proper notification of any opt-out by any governing unit. And on page 2 of the Senate and Gross version, line 4, which is item 3, it states the announcement shall be at least two newspaper columns in width. The original proposal said that it had to be a quarter of a page. This simply says it needs to be at least two column newspapers in width. This is the Senate amendment, and the Senate amendment is restored. The other things that this does is it leaves in the requirements are waived if the opt-out is less than $15,000, or if a copy of the resolution is mailed to every property taxpayer in the government unit, or if the copy of the resolution is printed in the official newspaper in the local government unit's boundaries. Finally, what this also does is strip out the original language which provided for an opt-in by the taxpayers and the amendment that applied it to other tax increases that was placed on this version in the House State Affairs Committee. So in essence, what this bill does, first of all, it grandfathers in everyone prior to July 1, 2002 who have opted out. Secondly, if they opt out after that date, they have to specify the number of years the opt-out will last, regardless what those numbers of years might be. And finally, it provides for proper notification of taxpayers. Why do I think that this bill and this issue is important? We've had several history lessons in the last year or so on the taxpayers' revolt of 1994, which nearly radically changed property taxes in our state. Since that time, this body has exercised great caution to try and ensure that that taxpayers' revolt is not once again ignited. And we have had to hold the line and stand firm in that regard. Many of us have been concerned that the opt-out provision is being used in such a way that it may again ignite that property tax revolt. And once ignited, we feel that it cannot be put out, that a Dakota proposition or a Dakota one would pass with disastrous consequences for our citizens and for our local units of government. We feel it is only fair to the taxpayers that they, one, be notified how long an opt-out is going to last so they can make a decision about it, and two, that they be properly notified about the opt-out through advertising in the newspapers or through having a mailing to their homes, so that as good citizens, they can make a judgment as to whether or not that opt-out is valid and whether or not it should be referred by them to a vote of the people. We've had a lot of debate in both houses this year about Senate Bill 182 and the various provisions that were contained within it. I think that the version that is before you today is a good version, that it will accomplish good public purposes of limiting the time period for opt-outs and informing the citizens so that they will know what it is that their local government units are doing so that they may respond in whatever way they deem appropriate. By passing this, I think that we continue to be able to ensure that we do not have another property tax revolt in South Dakota. And I would ask you to support the amendment and then go on and support the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Holbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I couldn't help but think back in my college days when I had a very respected coach talk a little bit about strategy. And he said, this is how it works. The person who gets the chalk last wins. And it means this. A coach goes and diagrams a play, and that play is a good play. That play can score a touchdown, until the other side gets the chalk and they design the defense to stop that play. You hand the chalk back over to the offense and they beat the defense. So you see what I'm saying? Whoever gets the chalk last wins. I was reminded in this bill on how that came to play. This amendment takes care of a lot of problems that were out there in this bill. We would have been making some decisions. If we do not pass this amendment, that would have just passed the chalk over to the counties and to the cities and the schools, and we would have ended up with some things that out here we refer to as, oh, they're playing games out there. Well, they're playing games sometimes because of a trust factor that neither side doesn't want to trust. And we had a long debate on trust here one time earlier this year. We need to build back that trust. We need to have a bill that we can send out and we can say, we're willing to trust you, local governments, schools, counties, and cities. I'm glad to see, and I commend Representative Peterson for bringing forth this amendment. I think this amendment is something that everyone can live with. A lot of people came to the table to make this compromise, the cities, the counties, and the schools. And with that, I only have one concern, that as this bill goes forth, if you support this amendment, and if it goes to conference committee, that it comes back intact and it does not find itself being again hung with all sorts of ornaments to look something different than what this is. I ask you very much, support this amendment, and let's hope that the Senate will concur and we can put this law out there to the public. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I think it's an illusion to think that the tax revolt is done. Every district that has to opt out is again circulating petitions. At home it's happening, and so taxpayers are signing petitions to reject the opt out of the school district. So I would just caution you to not believe that the tax revolt is done and buried. Until we get a better tax system, that's not true.
Further remarks on the Peterson motion to amend. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I do also rise to support the motion by Representative Peterson to amend Senate Bill 182. If I might, Mr. Speaker, just briefly mention some other elements other than the amendment as well as the bill.
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 182, prior to this amendment, and hopefully it'll be passed, I think was a little more onerous than what we now have, I believe, is a positive piece of legislation. We have passed many laws and promulgated many rules in this body, impacting local flexibility in the decision-making process at the local level. I applaud Representative Peterson for taking this positive action on what otherwise could have caused a lot of contentiousness today in this body, and making Senate Bill 182, hopefully if you will support this amendment, a taxpayer-friendly bill, and not one that is overladen with undue restrictions on local entities of government. The bottom line to this, and I agree with Representative Holbeck, is that hopefully this will go to the Senate and they will concur in the wisdom of the House if you support this amendment. This is a step forward. I appreciate again Representative Peterson's willingness to take this lead, and I urge the members of the body to support the motion to amend by Representative Peterson and then to go ahead and pass Senate Bill 182 as amended.
Further remarks? Seeing none. The question for the House then is the Peterson motion to amend. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Further remarks on Senate Bill 182? Seeing none. Question for the House then is final passage of Senate Bill 182. Those in favor vote aye. Opposed, nay. The clerk will not vote. Machine members proceed to vote.
No, this is the Senate version. Senate Bill 182. We put new amendments on it.
Well, they took them back off. This is the part we came from the Senate. So they shouldn't have to concur.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 46, nays 22, excused 2.
Senate Bill 182, having received the majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed. Are there any questions on the title? I think there may be a question on the title.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson?
If you refer to the Daily Reader, then I can understand why you would have a question, but the first sentence of my amendment stripped all of the House amendments, and that would include the title amendment that we would have made in House State Affairs Committee. By restoring it back to the Senate and Grossen version,
okay.
We do not need a title amendment.
Okay, thank you. No questions on title, it's deemed correct.